Now we turn to God's Word for tonight. To God's Word, we turn to the book of Exodus chapter 20, this evening. We want to read this evening those words from the Ten Commandments. While you're looking that up, allow me to give you also the footnote that I understand through your elders that they have arranged that in coming weeks, kind of scattered throughout the next weeks, there's going to be someone else addressing your congregation who is going to be preaching God's word in conjunction with commandments 1, 2, 3, and 4. That in mind, tonight we want to focus on commandment 5, knowing that the Lord will allow you to catch up with some of the background in later Sundays. So our text tonight comes from verse 12. But that being said, let us simply read God's word as he gave it to us in the book of Exodus. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And our text tonight comes from verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. We would also like to look at the words of Lord's Day 39. If you want to follow along, that's found on page 39 in the back of our Psalter hymnal. We're looking tonight at question 104. Question 104. Reading this way, what does God require in the fifth commandment? And that answer, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and to all in authority over me. Submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and correction, and also bear patiently with their weaknesses, shortcomings, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Dear friends and fellow Christians, the Bible tells us that in the last days, family life will take a beating. The Bible tells us that in the last days, when society is falling apart, beautiful Christian families will be a rare, rare thing. For 2 Timothy 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 read, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, without self-control, brutal, despisers of the good." And it sounds like society in collapse. The passage is saying that in the last days, all natural affection will be at risk. And parents will not love children, and children will not love parents, and discord will reign in home after home after home. Does it sound like you and I are nearing the time of last days? In the last days, people will be ungrateful, unthankful, in it for self, thinking of self, brushing aside those who would have their natural affection in normal circumstances. So you and I live in a culture where you can see home after home after home, where they just fight and tear at each other. You and I live in a society where not only can children be disrespectful, ungrateful, unthankful to their parents, but vice versa too. You and I live in a culture where if a woman, if a mom finds herself carrying an unwanted pregnancy, whether she be rich or poor, whether she be 51 or 15, she's got the legal right to go exterminate that life. That decision came for our nation 5 days after our oldest daughter was born. I wasn't even paying attention. But what goes around comes around. And now you have in your culture the push for euthanasia. And Jesus also said, those who take up the sword shall die by the sword. And now you also find that dads who should be caring for those families, who should be busting their knuckles and breaking their backs to provide for those children, dads all across the nation spin on their heel and pursue their own goals, their own agendas, their own money, and their own glory. But what goes around comes around. And in this society, police now sometimes even have to arrest and prosecute children who in anger and hatred murder their parents. But you, children of God, if you are children of God, the Lord wants you to be redeemed. Not just your soul redeemed before the Lord, purchased through the blood of Christ, But he wants you also to have a redeemed home life where dad and mom get along, where children and parents get along, where brothers and sisters care for one another. Your Lord wants you to have a redeemed home life. So that if 10 other homes in your neighborhood are war zones, the Lord wants your home to be so filled with the presence and the redeeming power of Christ that yours is positively, absolutely beautiful. And that if neighbors of yours would peek through the windows at night, they would see such a harmonious, beautiful thing. They would turn green with envy. Oh, yes, child of God, you can have that kind of home. It's actually what the Lord wants you to have. And therefore, almost 2,000 years ago already, through the pen of Moses and through his voice on the mountain, the Lord gave this command: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Three parts to the text. First, the Lord's command. Second, people's problems. And third, the Lord's promise. Ready? It's all right there in the text. The Lord's command. How many times have you heard this quoted? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Add to that. How many times have you heard it quoted wrong? Yeah, even in our church circles. Many, many people quote this text and quote it wrong. Because without even realizing it, they scratch out that little word honor, and instead they put in that word obey. And some parents will even quote to their children, obey your father and your mother. That's in the Bible. That's not what this text says. This text says, and the Bible makes no mistakes, right? Bible makes no mistakes. This text says, honor your father and your mother. And the word honor in the Hebrew, it's a beautiful, gorgeous word, short little word. It's an intensive verb. In Hebrew, it is kabid. And it means to consider the instructions and the words of your mom or dad very heavy, very weighty, very important. Honor your mom and dad means consider their words, consider their instruction, consider their guidance very heavy, very weighty, very important. That's not the same as obey. Children are not slaves. What does it mean? That means in example form that if boys and girls are honoring mommy and daddy, and at the end of the day, as every day comes to its end, and if at the end of the day, mommy says to that little boy and that girl playing at the toy box, okay, now children, it is time for you to pick up your toys and go brush your teeth because you're going to have to get ready for bed. If that little boy or girl are simply following through in this text, honoring mom with that request, all they will do is say, "Sure, Mom." And they start picking up the toys. And pretty soon the floor is bare. And they go trotting off to the bathroom to brush their teeth. Isn't that beautiful? And if a teenage girl is in the home, and after supper the mom says, "I'm going to ask you, would you be willing to clear the table and wash the dishes tonight? I got to da da da." Then that daughter is going to say, "Sure, Mom." And before the rest of the family has started to walk away from the table, she's already picking up stuff and moving it toward that kitchen sink. And then it says, if that older teenager, let's say he's got his own driver's license now, let's say he's got his own vehicles, if dad says, "Tomorrow's going to be a busy day, I want you to be home, son, 9:30 tonight." Then if that son is honoring this text before the Lord, that son is going to then, at that moment, say, "Sure, Pops." And by 8:28, 9:28, he's driving in the driveway, turning the keys off in the ignition, and walking into the house. What a beautiful picture of what life can be. But now back to the text. And you got to ask, if the Lord wants you to have a redeemed home life, what is your home life like right now? Back to the text. There's a beautiful expression here in the Hebrew. And if I translate it directly, you think it comes out simply in English? It is phenomenally beautiful and simple in Hebrew. Let me try. In Hebrew, it reads this way. Honor the father of you and the mother of you. Catch that? Honor the father of you and the mother of you. In other words, the Lord really makes it very simple, very easy. There's about 2 billion men on planet Earth that are dads right now. Of all 2 billion, you don't have to worry about all the rest, only one. Honor him. And of 2 million plus moms all around planet Earth, you don't have to worry about all those other moms. You don't have to kowtow to all of those other different moms. All you have to do is honor that one mom. That's simple, right? Oh, clarify that. If at a certain point there's a bride and groom and they come to the front of the church, and there in front of the church they say these vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, taking vows before the Lord, my family becomes your family becomes my family. Then, as that bride and groom walk out of the sanctuary and into the world, they've immediately got two moms and two dads. Don't overlook that, newlyweds. But even two moms and two dads out of 2 billion, that's no problem. Back to the text. The father of you, that's where the crunch comes, right? Because you can look around the neighborhood and find some dad that might be more jovial than your grumpy pa. And you might want to honor that jovial dad across the street. Your dad. And you might look at the high school class and see that some high school's schoolers' dads will let them stay out till 12:30 prior to curfew. And your dad says you got to be home at 9:30? Kind of hard to honor dad that's that strict, isn't it? And some dads let their daughters go stay overnight with this family or that family, no matter whether the circumstances are safe or not, but your dad says you got to toe the line. And some dads will feel as though they're generous if they reach out of their pocket and give a $5 bill for you to go with your friends. And some dad across the street might reach into his pocket and give a $50 bill. But the Lord does not say, honor your dad if you like him at the moment. Furthermore, the text says precisely, honor the father of you and the mother of you. And sometimes it's far easier for children to try to drive the knife blade of division between dad and mom. Some children learn it already at the age of 4. They come over to daddy and say, daddy, may I have a cookie? And if daddy says, not supper time yet. Without telling mom, they run over to mommy and say, may I have a cookie? I'm so hungry. And if mom says yes, they ignore dad and go with mom. Advance that a few years. Dad, may I have the car keys?
What do you need them for?
Mama, can I do a couple favors for you? Can I have the car keys? And they divide the one against the other. And children learn that very early. Do not do that. The text says clearly, honor the father of you and the mother of you. Okay. Do not favor the one over the other. Do not do that. For in the process, the Lord is teaching you how to honor him and his structure for society. Part 2. People and their problems. For here you realize, and you realize very, very well, you realize it sooner than later, and you realize it even if you don't want to confess it, that there is no such thing as a perfect child. Let us add to that. There is no such thing as a perfect teenager. That was cute. I just saw some eyebrows flash. There is no such thing as a perfect 20-year-old. But add to that, in all honesty, there is no such thing as a perfect dad. And there is no such thing as a perfect mom. The dads and the moms that God has given us are dads and moms that have flaws. How many flaws do they have? Oh, how many. But the Bible says that Christian dads and Christian moms must be redeemed in the Christ through faith with the repentance of their sins. But the same thing is true for Christian teenagers and Christian children, for the Lord wants us to be redeemed. But then, flesh that out a little bit. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Scripture says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. In other words, what has dad told you? What has dad given you? How has dad instructed you in such a way that there's good that has come out of it? Hear the instruction of your father and honor him for that good part that he has given you. And do not forsake the law of your mother. For your mother has laid down rules for you and guidance for you and tried to instruct you and tried to guide you in some form or fashion. You are to honor her for that. Yes, even if she's got glaring mistakes, that stare you in the face. But now, please remember that some dads and some moms do absolutely, positively rotten jobs of parenting. Do not gloss over that. And some sons at the hands of their dads have encountered incredible abuse. Or daughters too. And some children at the tongue of their mom have received such tongue lashings they will carry those scars to their graves. No, the Lord does not say anywhere in Scripture, that's okay. And many times there can be sons and daughters that are more godly and more redeemed and more faithful before the Lord than their parents. Oh, we would pray that the next generation would step into those kind of shoes. And they are big shoes. But let me give you a personal experience illustration on this point. Back a number of years ago, yeah, quite a few now, I think the year was 1990 or 1991. At a church in Canada, about 350 miles that away, on a Tuesday night, I think it was, I was teaching catechism to a consistory room filled with teenagers. And it was a good bunch of kids, as I saw it. As I remember, there were like 24 chairs all the way around that consistory room, and the room that night was jam-packed. Every single chair was full, so I was standing at the head of the table teaching catechism, and I was teaching on the fifth commandment. Honor the father of you and the mother of you. And I was partway through that lesson. And at the far corner of the room, suddenly one young man, 11th grader, he exploded. And he said with a glare in his face, "Do you mean to tell me that I have to honor that loud-mouthed, foul-mouthed, hot-tempered brute of a man?" I was taken by shock. But what also shocked me was the 23 others sitting around the room did not say one word because they all knew that kid was right. Dear fellow Christians, if you've had a dad, twisted, bent up, and broken, who's taught you 490 things wrong, but he has taught you 10 things right, honor him for those 10. And Christians, if you have had a mom that could harbor grudges and wield the tongue more deftly than a dagger, and you can remember to your dying day 450 things with which she stabbed you. But if she said 21 things that were good and kind, and pointed you in the right direction, honor her for those 51, 21 things. Back to the text. The Bible also says, Proverbs 23, verse 22, " Listen to your father who begat you. And do not despise your mother when she is old. You had a dad somewhere that gave you 23 chromosomes. That's not saying much, is it? Some of you have had dads that have cultured and cared for you 10, 20, 30 years. What does it say? Listen to your father who begot you. Despise not your mother when she's old. Yeah. When she's gray-haired. When she's bent over. When she can no longer hear. Or no longer see. Or no longer control body functions. And when she can no longer remember your name. Honor her nonetheless. And since everyone had a mom and dad. And for many of us sitting here, mom and dad are not here on earth anymore. The Bible does not say, honor your father and your mother until they die. The Bible says, honor them. So therefore, even if they're in glory, don't badmouth them. Don't list the 43 things they've done wrong. Honor them before the Lord, that your life also might exhibit redemption through Christ. And the last point, the promise of God. The promise of God, here it is, right here in the text, eh? That your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Allow me to speak quickly now. I see four illustrations right there in the text. I use all four so that hopefully one of the four might go home with you tonight. First one, the Christian home was designed by God to be a school. A school so that you might be taught how to live in society. For the child that does not know how to honor mom and dad at the age of 4 is not going to have a good time in school honoring the teacher at the age of 9. And the 9-year-old that cannot honor the teacher will have trouble with the principal at age 14. And the 14-year-old that can't get along at school is probably going to have trouble with the police at age 19 or 24. And the one who never learns in the home how to honor those in authority probably is going to have trouble with the boss at age 34, or trouble with the government at age 44, or trouble with the law at age 54. Home is a school to teach you godly living. Second, the Christian instruction you receive in a home, whether it be great or little, is like the bridle on a horse. A mom, a dad, a man or woman training a horse can put the bridle on the head of that horse with the bit in the mouth, and they can lead that horse into obedience, lead that horse into respectful, decent productivity. God has placed the bridle of the instruction of children in the hand, not of dictators and tyrants, not of the government. Takes a village to raise a child. God has placed that bridle in the hand of loving moms and dads to do the best they can despite their faults. Illustration 3. Christian instruction in a home is designed to be a fountain. Now, unless you own a home worth mega millions, you're not going to build a fountain in the middle of the home. But that's what this is. Even if your home be a one-room log cabin, if there's a Christian instruction in that home. It's like a fountain in the middle of the home. And it starts with children and mom and dad. And it spreads to the next circle around the fountain, to the relatives. And it spreads to the next circle around the fountain, to the church. And it spreads to the next circle, to the community. And it spreads to the next circle, to the country and the world. Your instruction starts at home. It is a fountain of good. And the fourth illustration. So you've got the school, the bridle, the fountain, and the kingdom. Got news for you teenagers? The Christian home is not a democracy where everybody gets to take a vote and all votes are equal. The Christian home is designed as God's family is designed. It is a kingdom. And the dad functions in that home, if he's a Christian dad, he functions in that home as a king to rule that family in the name of the King of Kings to the best of his ability, even if it requires of him that he sacrifice his life to his dying breath to provide for those children and that family and a wife. And the mom. She's not in that home to be servant to Sonny and daughter. She is in that home to be queen. And in her providing for her children, in her providing meals, in her taking care of laundry, in her monitoring their homework, she is providing the role, ruling in that home as a queen in the name of the King of Kings. Now, I am certain that if in your homes some relatives of yours might hear a teenager say in your home, King Dad, how would you like me to do this? And society would yank their heads around, what just happened? Or if some of you teenagers as loving children would say to your mom, I brought you a gift, Queen Mother. It sounds kind of like English royal court, but that's what you're talking about here. But back to the text. In the process of learning at home, the Lord is teaching you His fatherhood. A Christian home points children directly to the fatherhood of God. For if you learn how to respect those in authority in the home, you're learning also in the process how to respect your Heavenly Father. And many, many times, I'm guessing 9 times out of 10, it is the religion of the parents that coaxes along the religion of the children. Add to that, if someone in the home rebels against dad, rebels against mom, rebels against the teachers, rebels against the police and those in authority, and rebels against God at the age of 54, still shaking his fist at the heavens, telling God that he does not want his fatherhood, then what will happen is, the dying breath will come, and that soul will spend eternity in hell where they don't have to ever listen to the Father God again. The text says that your days may be long. Please do not misinterpret that text. This does not guarantee that every boy and girl teenager here is going to automatically get to be 85 or 95 years old and someday pass away in their sleep. This does not even guarantee you are going to live on planet Earth till you're 50 or till you're 20. This does not promise to every godly little boy and girl that they're going to go accident-free and be able to live here on planet Earth until they're 5. And one thing that ripped our hearts apart, it did not even guarantee that our little grandson, Luke, at the age of 5 months, would be able to have a 6th month. But the text says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. For if you are redeemed in Christ, he designs that with your parting breath, because you have been redeemed in Christ and washed in his blood, the Heavenly Father will take you into his home. And there, in his home, you will be able to sit at his banquet table forever and ever and ever. And you will be able to walk in the promised land before his great white throne high and lifted up forever and ever and ever. And you will be able to live in the presence of all the children of God in total harmony in that kingdom of heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. And that shall be for a long, long time. Take our hearts, O Lord. Draw us always closer and closer to you. Grant that we might all live the Christ-like life. Grant that our homes might be havens in this rough and tough society. And grant that, even if it means we have to adopt others and bring them into our homes in order that they might have safe haven, grant that, O Lord. But grant as well, however you teach us, that we might honor you and your word always. Redeem us, O Christ, from all of those mistakes. For there is no boy, girl, man, or woman that does not sin. We all blunder, and sometimes terribly. Give your healing. Give your grace. And allow us always to honor you, O Heavenly Father, perfect, holy, merciful, kind, and eternal Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen.